The Old Testament lesson this morning comes from Psalm 19. How clearly the sky reveals God's glory. How plainly it shows what he has done. Each day announces it to the following day. Each night repeats it to the next. No speech or words are used. No sound is heard. Yet their message goes out to all the world and is heard to the ends of the earth. God made a home in the sky for the sun. It comes up in the morning like a happy bridegroom, like an athlete eager to run a race. It starts at one end of the sky and goes across to the other. Nothing can hide from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect. It gives new strength. The commands of the Lord are trustworthy, giving wisdom to those who lack it. The laws of the Lord are right, and those who obey them are happy. The commands of the Lord are just and give understanding to the mind. Reverence for the Lord is good. It will continue forever. The judgments of the Lord are just. They are always fair. They are more desirable than the finest gold, and they are sweeter than the purest honey. They give knowledge to me, your servant. I am rewarded for obeying them. None of us can see your own errors. Deliver me, Lord, from hidden faults. Keep me safe also from willful sins. Don't let them rule over me. Then I shall be perfect and free from the evil of sin. May my words and my thoughts be acceptable to you, O Lord, my refuge and my redeemer.
The New Testament lesson is from Hebrews 12:1-3. As for us, we have this large crowd of witnesses around us. So then, let us rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way and of the sin which holds on to us so tightly, and let us run with determination the race that lies before us. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to end. He did not give up because of the cross. On the contrary, because of the joy that was waiting for him, he thought of nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross, and is now seated at the right hand of God's throne. Think of what he went through, how he put up with so much hatred from sinners. So do not let yourselves become discouraged and give up.
This is the word of God for the people of God.
Good morning, church family. Good to see you. Really, really is. What a day. What a day. Beautiful and splendid. Cool. But nothing compared to what we're going to see come Tuesday. So take heart. And don't forget to check on not only your pets. We hear that a lot, and boy, we need to do that. But check on your neighbors who live alone or perhaps have a disability or perhaps are in their senior years. Make sure they're doing okay during those extra cold nights. Will you do that? I want to give you a real quick update beyond what Paul shared earlier regarding Gail Wright. I posted on Facebook that Gail fell. And this is on me. She did not. She did faint. A term was used that I've asked, and it turns out it's a good old mountain term, considering the fact I was born and raised in these mountains right here. I did not know that when you said somebody fell out, that means they fainted. I thought that meant they fell out. So Gail is in ER. She's in a lot of pain due to her back, but that's been ongoing. There is to be an ablation tomorrow that conceivably could give her some relief. So this lady is in immense pain and really wants our church praying for her, that this procedure tomorrow might truly make differences that nothing to date has been able to touch. I also want to say thank you to Karen and Pat. We're so blessed, aren't we? My goodness alive, we're so blessed to have such accomplished people. And two of our pastors are away this weekend at the scrapbooking weekend that our church started some years ago. Now, I don't know how many they have. They have a lot of people that go and they spend the whole weekend scrapbooking. Well, Melissa and Kristen are there too. But, you know, we may have to end up taking them off the payroll because we've not missed them a bit. Thank you for what you've done. I didn't say that so that when I leave, you say, Joe, we didn't miss you a lick. And you know, with all my heart, I have tried to find Betty, but I have not found you. Where are you? Betty, what are you doing down front? You always sit back there, and that's why I've not been able to locate you. The flowers that you see here are from Betty's son, Bobby's service this past Thursday. Aren't they beautiful? And we love you, Betty. I know you don't hear me. I know that, but we love you. Thank you for being here with your gorgeous granddaughter. Thank you for letting your church walk this with you. Heavenly Father, I pray that in whatever is about to wrap up in this service, that if there's undoing in us or things needing undone, you will do it. And if there are things in our lives that need doing that we've not done, I pray that you'll encourage us to bring it about. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to open your Bibles again to Hebrews 12. Let's look at that passage. It's a powerful passage, but that piece of it, I just love it. Since we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, we are to rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way and of the sin which holds on to us so tightly. And then we are to run with perseverance the race that is set before us. I love that passage because it speaks of every component of what it is to have Christian faith. It speaks to the idea that you don't have to be stuck where you are, no matter how long you've been there. It speaks to the idea that we've got a goal out there we're all heading to. It also speaks to the supernatural, since we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. Now, let me just for a moment step you back into the classroom. You probably know this, but for fear that you do not. The Bible was not written with chapters and verses. It was written. And centuries later, the chapters and the verses were added so that we could contextualize what's going on and we could also easily reference a passage. So the writer of Hebrews did not end chapter 11 and then begin chapter 12. It was a continuation. Now, why is that important? Because step back now, turn a page. Go back to Hebrews 11. And there you will see this faith, F-A-I-T-H, faith hall of fame. In that faith hall of fame are so many who have led in the establishment of the faith. People that got us going. It was by faith that Abraham offered his son Isaac as a sacrifice. It was by faith that Isaac made the blessing to the future of Jacob and Esau. It was by faith that Joseph blessed each of his sons. It was by faith that Joseph then, when he was about to die, spoke of the departure of the Israelites out of Egypt. It was by faith, and it was by faith, it was by faith. Well, who are those people? They are, listen, this is important, the saints being referred to in the 12th chapter, just a few verses down the road, in verse 1. Therefore, since we are encompassed by this great cloud of witnesses, saints, those who have gone on before us, but still having bearing on us. Now, it's important for me to acknowledge that there are several schools of thought on what that bearing is. There are those who believe that it means their influence is still being experienced today, and that's certainly true. Even though it's been millennia since Abraham was around, we still serve the God of Abraham. His faith is being experienced in us fresh today. That's true. There are others who believe, no, it doesn't mean just that. Sure that, but it also means those who are still pressing forward with the faith and who die and go on before us, they are able to encourage us now in our faith. There's something splendid about the idea to me that those folks who have so impacted my life for Christ are cheerleading me as I go through life. My mama and my daddy and all of those who made my life richer and better. That great cloud of witnesses moving forward. Who would they be in your life, you may ask? And there they are moving us forward. But when I think about it a little deeper, it kind of gives me the creeps. I don't want my mama and daddy seeing everything I do. You see, that's not what the writer of Hebrews is referring to, that they are some kind of weird peeping Tom, keeping track of who we are and what's going on. No, when there are measures of faith going on in our life and we're about to take that next big step or may take it, they are pulling for us. They are hoping for us. They are aware of us in that position. I have no trouble experiencing that. You see, we never learn anything when we're going down the road. Really and truly, that's true in every realm of life. We never learn anything just moving forward. But when we come to that intersection where we are going to take a right or a left, or we may choose to continue straight, it's there that we become teachable. It's there that something new spiritually has a chance with us. And I believe it is in the intersections of life that the saints who surround you in this great cloud of witnesses are at work pulling for you. Now, one of the reasons that we may struggle with the idea of some of the recent saints, those who've gone on to God in our lifetime, is that we've perhaps overestimated what's required to be a saint. This morning, you heard Pastor Paul speak of Gail taking a fall and Mary taking a fall. I've heard you say, you've heard me say about those two women, they are saints. And if you know them, you won't argue against that. They're saints. Oh, we know what we mean by that. Interestingly, I've never heard anybody say, you know, Pastor Joe is a saint. Not even once. But I'll tell you, it still could be we're overestimating what is required to be a saint. Because when you go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and look at that list in the hall of the faithful, those people real often were not saintly. Real often, they were involved in a behavior that makes me want to go, holy cow, I thought I was bad. And yet they are set aside as being the saints. So what is a saint? What really is a saint? Well, you know, I could offer you some notions that are there theologically, but instead I think a story might be more in order. I heard about a little girl who went away for the weekend to visit with her grandmother and grandfather. And on the Sunday morning, she goes to church, their church. She had never been there before. It was an impressive church, a beautiful church. But in the back of the church was this magnificent stained glass. And as part of it, in four of the panels, there were St. Matthew, St. Mark, St. Luke, and St. John. She asked her grandparents who they were. They explained, and she was just taken with the beauty and the colors and the way the sun hit that, and it was really an important moment for her. Well, late that afternoon, her parents came, and they picked up their daughter, and she kissed her grandparents goodbye. And on the way home, they said, "Well, honey, tell us about the weekend." And she said, "Well, I went to church with grandmother and granddaddy today." "Oh, really? Well, what did you like about going to church?" "Said, you ought to see the stained glass." And they said, "Well, we've seen that. What impressed you so much about that?" And she said, "Well, you know, it's just amazing. On that glass and pieces of glass and colors and variegated form, there is," and she probably didn't say variegated form, "there is St. Matthew, St. Mark, St. Luke, and St. John." And her daddy driving the car, a little teasing with her, and said, "Well, honey, and listen, because here's what I want us all to hear. Honey, what is a saint?" And she said, "Well, Daddy, they are the ones where the light comes in." That's what a saint is. Not that they are perfect, not that they don't fail, not that they don't spend large amounts of their lives going the wrong way. Again, read Hebrews chapter 11. A saint is one who still, in spite of it all, lets the light come in. And therefore, we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, pulling for us, hoping for us, believing in us. Come to think of it, those people in my life who had influence over me were not perfect, but somehow as I look back upon them, I think of the light that shone through them. They made mistakes, but if I was witness to the mistake, I can also say, when they stepped one step backwards, they then took two steps forward. God never asked, nor did God expect you to be perfect, my precious friends. It's not in your capability. God did call you to be faithful. Not in you and your abilities, but in God. Faithful enough to remember the way home, even when for a moment you've lost your way. So it makes me ask, and I want you to really think about this, who are the saints in your life? Who are the saints in your life? Your mom, dad, grandparent, that Sunday school teacher from long ago, a neighbor who continually has let the light shine through. Here is what I'll wager. If those people are still around, if you go to them one by one and say, "Are you a saint?" Unanimously, they will say to you, "A saint? Are you out of your mind? No, I'm no saint." And yet, in your life, they are. No matter how high our appraisal of them may be, they're like you, they're like me. They know the truth about themselves. They know that God did not get a bargain when He got us. The Scriptures teach, "For we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." That's you, that's me, we all sin. But the Scriptures also teach that when we take that step back, let's take two steps forward. What do you say? when we move in the wrong direction, when we're aware, let's step up and move back in the right direction. So if the first question is, who are the saints in your life, doesn't it follow that the second question is this? In whose lives are you a saint? Have you ever thought about that? That to some people out there, they may look to you, look at you, and see light shining through you. Do you remember that hymn? Some of you do. Let others see Jesus in you. Let others see Jesus in you. Sing with me. Keep telling the story. Be faithful and true. Let others see Jesus in you. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes we don't do that. When I was driving like a bat out of you know where from Mission Hospital this morning trying to get back here, that lady who pulled in front of me did not see light shining out of me. I didn't say anything. I didn't inflect. I didn't raise my hands. They were firmly on the wheel, but when I went by her, I gave her a look that if looks could kill, I would have wiped out three city blocks. And I'm making light of something that's actually a problem. Road rage kills people. And at minimum, it kills light. It puts a shade over the glass so that light cannot pass through. My dad was one of the most significant people in my life. My mom truly was a saint. I've never known another person quite like her. I thank God for my mama. I didn't always thank God for my dad. He was always a good man. But he didn't know how to discipline his children. There were times that I was scared to death of him, rightfully. But you know, when my dad got a good dose of Jesus, and he didn't just play the Jesus game, which he had done all my life. He always went to church. He always said the right things. By George, he got elected deacon over and over and over again. But when he finally, upon having his first of what would be many heart attacks, got a good dose of Jesus because he needed something beyond himself. Something changed in that man. One step back, two steps forward. And my dad did something that will forever make him a hero in the eyes of his children. He got in his car and he drove all across the state of North Carolina because at that time we all lived in North Carolina, but all over creation. And he went to each of us and he said, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. There have been people who were mean to you and they don't have that chance. They're gone now and all we can do is forgive them anyway. But I want to say to you, a lot of light passed through my dad onto me. In the last 15 years of his life, he was my best friend on earth. It makes me wonder, whose saint am I? I'm not that woman that I passed on the way back from the hospital this morning. I'm no saint to her. kind of makes me wonder, what would have been the difference if I'd pulled up beside her as I did and just thrown up my hand and waved and smiled and moved on? I'm about through, so let me close with something important. Two steps forward, one step back leads us to understand that none of us are getting it exactly right. But there should be enough light passing through the stained, blood-stained glass of our lives that others are seeing Jesus in us along the way. There should be. I don't know that it's a good or a right ambition for us to seek sainthood, that we seek to become the saint in somebody's life. But I think it's a fine ambition that every person in this room seek to let light pass through. Do you hear that? And do you hear the difference? Not seeking to be a saint, seeking to let Jesus reflect off of you. So I close with this. I heard this story and I said, yes, this is it. Little boy was a little bit like your pastor when I was a boy. I played ball well enough to make the team, never well enough to be very good. But I always went out, and whatever number of games there were, I got to play. If my team was far enough ahead, there was no way they could catch me, they'd put me in. If our team was so far behind, there was no way we were going to catch up, they'd put me in. This little boy was a little bit like that. It was the last game of the season. He had only been in a couple of times very briefly all season long. Last game. And family was visiting, and so on this day in the stadium, in the stands, I should say, of his little league team, were his mother and father, who didn't miss a game. There was his brother and two sisters, an uncle, a cousin, and his grandmother. Those three were visiting from out of town. It was the bottom of the ninth inning. His team was at bat. He had been put in at the top of the ninth. They were behind by one, two outs, two men on base. He hears his family cheerleading him. This great cloud of witnesses. Come on, Jeremy, you can do it, buddy. Come on, Jeremy. The first pitch came, a swing and a miss. That's okay, Jeremy. Line up, buddy. Watch that ball. Watch the ball, Jeremy. Second, a swing and a miss. Little league team, come on, Jeremy. You can do this. His mom, dad, his grandmother, his uncle, his cousin, his brother, and two sisters, they're all shouting for him. You can do this, Jeremy. And the pitch came, and he swung harder than he had ever swung in his life, and he missed the ball. Game was over. He slumped his shoulders. He hung his head. He went back to the dugout. His team was not kind and upset with him. They walked out of the dugout, hardly speaking a word to him. And when they were all gone, he just sat on the dugout bench, weeping. But then he heard something. Come on, Jeremy, the game's not over. Get out here. And he looked out on the field, and there at the pitcher's mound was his father. His brother was catcher, And across the bases were his sisters, his mom, and his grandmother. Come on, Jeremy. And he grabbed his bat and he ran back out there, and his dad lobbed a pitch and he got hold of it and knocked it into left field. And they shouted, "Go, Jeremy! Go, Jeremy! Way to go!" Did they think for one moment in doing that if they shout loud enough, he just might one day make the majors? No. So why did they go to all that trouble? Because they loved him. Some of the boys leaving heard the shouting. They look around. They see people on the field, and they run back. And for the next hour, they played ball. What is it in your life you need to let go of? You heard Pastor Paul today. Anger, hurt, brokenness, whatever it is, depression. What do you need to let go of so that light can start shining through? You've taken a step back, but it's not over. The game's still on. One step back, but two steps forward. You can cover a lot of territory moving through life that way. One step back. Two steps forward. The game is still on. It's not too late to let the light shine through. Heavenly Father, this is your day. You've made it. May your light be enough for us to be glad in it. In Jesus we pray. Amen. The invitation this morning is a little different. If you're going to join the church this morning, please come back next week and do it then, will you? Okay, please. We really need you badly. If you were going to rededicate your life, if you wanted to talk with one of your pastors, we can do that in just a little bit when the service is over. But we're going to, instead of singing the final hymn, I know it's there, we're just going to allow our musician to play. And if you feel so led, I want you to come up, and there's a blue taper right here. You can pick that up. And from the Christ candle, I want you to light that candle. And then I want you to light one of these small ones here. And here are the three ways I'm asking you to consider lighting. Thanking God for a saint in your life. They may already be gone. They may be still walking the earth. But thanking God, and light that in their honor today. Secondly, you may want to light the candle saying, "Lord, I just want the light to pass through me. I'm no saint, but I want the light to pass through me." And this is a symbol that that starts today. Thirdly, and none of us would know the difference between how this is going on, but you could light a candle today as a symbol of something you need to let go of, so that you can start your two steps forward. You're not required to come forward. There's no expectation of that. And frankly, I don't know that anybody will. But if you want to come forward today to light a candle to thank God for that saint in your life, or to ask God to let light pour through you, or to let go of the things that have so heavily slowed you, then this is your time of invitation. Would you please stand right where you are? As the music begins, you can bow your heads, and if you feel inclined, please come forward.